Our study tonight is out of Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Christ is Israel's Messiah by his compassionate reaction to people afflicted by his opponents. Jesus withdrew from his hostile nation's religious leaders in Matthew 12, 14, and 15, from his hostile townsfolk in Matthew 13, 53 to 58, and from wicked Herod Antipas, with whom Jesus knew he would otherwise eventually get into open conflict in violation of his peaceful ministry calling. It's Matthew chapter 14, 1 to 13, with Matthew 12, 17 to 21. That was our last lesson. However, Israel's people faced affliction in the form of a vacuum of godly leadership due to Herod's killing of John the Baptizer. So Jesus had compassion on them, showing his messianic qualifications. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. When Jesus heard of it, that is, when he heard about the death of John the Baptizer, the martyrdom at the hands of Herod Antipas, he departed from there by a ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth, or he disembarked from the boat, and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said unto them, "They don't need to go. You give them something to eat." But they said unto him, "We have here but only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them here to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, in addition to the women and the children. Okay, there's a lot that's going on here. Matthew 14, 13 reports that when Jesus heard from John the Baptizer's disciples of his martyrdom by Herod Antipas, Jesus withdrew. The Greek word is anakoreo. It's the same word that is used back in Matthew 12, 15 of Jesus withdrawing from the religious leaders. The word anakoreo starts in Matthew 12 and it starts repeating itself ad infinitum throughout the Matthew's gospel. Matthew's burden is to show that Jesus is the Messiah even though there isn't a kingdom, because he started to withdraw. He started to withdraw his offer of the kingdom when the leaders of Israel, the people of Israel, didn't accept him as the Messiah, the true Messiah. Now, he still did many miracles. He still was teaching his disciples. But at this point in his ministry, he's beginning to focus only on his men more than the crowds. Well, then Jesus took a boat across the Sea of Galilee to a desolate place away from Herod's attention. But when the people of the surrounding towns heard of his movement, they followed his boat on foot around the lake to where he would land so he might heal them of their physical illnesses and maladies. We visited Israel in 1963. I was 14 years of age at the time. I remember it. The Sea of Galilee is surrounded basically by hills. So if you're on the land, you can see across the lake fairly well. So if Jesus is in the boat moving across, and it's about, 6-7 miles across sideways, the people could easily have seen him, and they would just kind of precede him along the way. So by the time Jesus got to where he wanted, there was a huge crowd. It's amazing, but he was just trying to get away from Herod Antipas. He didn't want to attract attention now that John had been martyred by him, so he was just getting out of the area. Well, when Jesus left the boat for shore, the word here is disembark, the technical word for getting out of the boat. When he left the boat for shore and he saw the great multitude that had followed him, the Bible says he felt compassion on them and he healed their sick. It's interesting, Jesus is getting away to go away because he's in shock, humanly speaking. Others are in shock because of what had happened to John. John had been beheaded. His head had been taken and put on a platter, a serving dinner, and taken into the banquet hall because of Herod's wife had wanted this. So it was an atrocity. In the Orient, the Oriental culture, what you do to the body after death is almost as important as what you do to a person while he's still alive. So this is something that was extremely offensive to the Jewish people. And it would have been to Jesus too, but he didn't want a conflict with Herod Antipas. He was getting out of there. But here he had compassion. Now, this compassion undoubtedly arose in part due to Jesus' awareness that with Herod Antipas' appalling martyrdom of John the Baptizer, whom the people all held to be a prophet, according to Matthew 21:26, there was a vacuum in spiritual leadership existing in the nation, and only he could fill it. See, up till now, you had John the Baptizer ministering, you had Jesus ministering. Now John is gone. Who's left? Well, they don't want to put their trust in Herod Antipas or Pilate, or whatever. Jesus. Jesus is their last hope. So these people are flocking to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a tremendous demonstration of need for godly leadership. Well, Christ's great compassion extended his healing work into the late afternoon near sundown. The word evening is apsios, and it's used at the time. It's about like this, where the sun is real low, and it's close to evening. And normally, if the sun is this low and you're out in the country, it's a little late because you don't have flashlights. You don't have cars with lights. You got to get to where you're going to spend the night before now. Normally, people start heading home like 4 o'clock, 4:30 or whatnot, so they get there. You got these thousands of people are out there, and it's evening. So the disciples are getting concerned. So the disciples came to Jesus to explain that since it was a deserted area and the day was fading, he ought to send the people away so they might enter into the surrounding villages and buy food to eat. Now, of course, Jesus knew what he was going to do, and what he's really doing is he's setting the disciples up. He's going to have a lesson, make a lesson out of this. Well, extending his compassion even further, Jesus replied to his disciples that the people did not need to go, that the disciples should give them something to eat. I think this is real cute, verse 16. They need not depart. Give them something to eat. Now, Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he wanted the men to see their own inadequacy. That's the point. He's teaching these men to rely upon him. This is one of the classic things that we have to learn in ministry. We can't minister in our own strength. We need the Lord. But anyway, Jesus told them they should give them food to eat. Now, the disciples said they had only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and we learned this from another one of the Gospels, that they pawned this off of a little boy. He's the only one that had his lunch, maybe had a sack lunch with him. Jews would tell you it was lox and bagels. But, you know, it was, anyway, it was loaves and fish. It was a common little, you know, meal that a child might have. Apparently some mother had let him have his sack lunch with him. So Jesus told them to bring the food to him. Then he commanded the crowd to sit down on the grass. And it's interesting, the grass grew and grows in Palestine right around the time of Passover, which would be nice to sit on. Other than that, it gets dry and prickly. So we feel that a lot of these crowds might have been people who were on their way to Passover. And so you had huge throngs of people that were headed towards Jerusalem anyway. So they had to sit down on the grass. He took the loaves and the fishes in hand. He looked to heaven. He blessed them, which is very typical of the Jewish way of saying the blessing. He broke them, very typical of the Jewish practice. He gave them to the disciples, and they to give to the people. Astoundingly, all the people not only ate of what had been this small bit of food, they ate to their fill. The Greek word kortazo means to fill up. These people were filled up. It's just like having a great big 4th of July picnic and eating all the hot dogs and hamburgers and the watermelon, and everything you can possibly get, and baked beans, potato salad, all of that stuff, pickles. And the disciples took up of the leftovers 12 full pleros, baskets, kophinos. And the word for basket is a woven basket that holds several gallons of dry measure each. A woven basket probably be about as big as what you would want to put on a chair here. So you imagine I have 12 of these full. That's a lot more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes. There's a huge miracle that has occurred here. Then the clear multiplication of the loaves and fishes on these various levels of evidence reveal the enormity of the miraculous provision, but also the crowd numbered about 5,000 men. Pentakiskelioi is the word for 5,000 men, but that was besides women and children. And remember, in that culture, they only counted men. Only men would vote and all that kind of stuff. So this would mean that from 15 to 20,000 people were fed. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he fed 15 to 20,000 people. I like to think it was at least 20,000 because he had these throngs of people headed to Passover. Now, this miracle has profound messianic implications in view of Moses' prophecy in Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'm going to go back to this passage. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning at verse 15, notice what Moses said. The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren, like unto me, and to him you shall hearken, according to all that you desire of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this loud, large fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have spoken well that which they have said. And I will raise up them unto them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you, just like Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. In other words, I'm going to hold him accountable. Now, the key here is that this prophet would be like Moses. Now, what Jesus had just done was what Moses had done. And he's the only one in Israel's history who had done this. God had predicted to Moses that he would raise up a prophet like Moses from among the Hebrew people, that he would put his words in the prophet's mouth, and would hold the people of Israel accountable to heed those words from the Lord. Well, Moses had been used of God supernaturally to feed the people of Israel with manna in the wilderness. Remember Exodus 16? They're in the wilderness of Sinai. They run out of food. So the Lord says, I'm going to provide food, and so Moses gives direction. So Moses is the servant of the Lord, and God supernaturally provides food. In fact, God was providing Moses' ministry for 40 years until they actually reached the land of Canaan. Well, Jesus here supernaturally had fed the multitudes of Israel with food in the wilderness area. Remember, they had departed to go into a deserted place? So they're in a deserted place, and he feeds them. In fact, in one of the other Gospels, I think it's John's Gospel, the people said, after this miracle, isn't this the prophet that is to come? And they wanted to take him and make him a king right then. But they were doing it only because he fed them with the loaves, not because they really believed in him. So due to just this miracle alone, and it's interesting that this is the only miracle that appears in all four Gospels. All the Gospels have different shades of miracles, but this one appears in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It made a profound impression on the disciples. So just to this miracle alone, Israel was responsible to heed Jesus' words as the prophet from God. So after John the Baptizer's martyrdom, Jesus expressed tremendous compassion on Israel's multitudes. So he ministered to them, he healed their sick, and supernaturally fed them in a wilderness area as the prophet of God with God's words that God had long before, specifically 1,400 years before, predicted through Moses would arise in Israel. So may we trust in Jesus as the prophet of God predicted by God to Moses. And then may we heed Jesus' words as God's messenger and rejoice in his shepherding of us that is concerned with our every need. May we also rest in Christ's compassionate sensitivity to intense needs that we face that are created by appalling evils and trials. See, Jesus went the extra mile demonstrating compassion because he was feeling compassion for these people, especially in view of the loss of John the Baptizer through this atrocity by Herod Antipas. And he demonstrated his compassion. And I believe it's a signal that when his people face trauma, when they face especially trials that are especially atrocious or especially horrific, the compassion level of God expressed goes way up. And that's something we can rely on. God is compassionate. He cares. He really cares about our needs. So what we need to do is to come to him, and we need to rely upon him.